Hey everyone, welcome to the podcast and thanks for tuning in. Joining me today is actually one of my favorite colleagues, Duncan Scott. Duncan's worked on our Move to the Cloud program for years. He really is a true expert. He's a super humble guy, so he might not tell you that, but I'll tell you. So he spends his days figuring out ways to make it easier for our customers to move from on-premise to the cloud. Hey, Dunk, thanks for coming.
And Ron, it's a pleasure to be here, my friend.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He has a questionable choice in sports teams a little bit, but with it being a Boston fan, no, I'm just kidding. I'm a hater.
Yeah, you leave my Celtics out of this. Yeah,
I know. You guys just beat us in the playoffs, me being a Hawks fan. So, you know, I'm a little, hurt. No. All right. Now, I know you've done a lot of work with customers and helping them move to the cloud. More recently, I think it's come up a lot about making a business case and moving to the cloud, right? I think we saw that a lot in 2023. I think it's more customers are looking for an ROI and needing justification for this type of project, where in past years that wasn't necessarily always the case. Of course, it helps when you can, you know, justify your spend. So I know you're doing some work to help build and expand on work we've done in terms of like a report and even up to like a ROI calculator. So tell me about that. You know, what's going on with that? When might it be available? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and thanks for that. And again, thanks for having me on, man. No, so the ROI calculator is really kind of a byproduct of some of the work that we've done earlier in the year, partnering with a company called ESG, or the Enterprise Strategy Group, that really focuses on looking at the value of moving from on-prem to the cloud, and specifically looking at things like how does that impact the cost of implementation or the overall annual cost to run HR operations, and what starting to pull some of those inputs together ultimately yields is an ROI calculation that lets our customers know broadly what the overall impact financially would be for adopting SuccessFactors after moving from their on-prem HCM system. The white paper itself was really well received, to the point that our team, including our very own Imran Sajid, won an Archer Award earlier this year from Tech Target. Congratulations, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, I will say, like, that report, when you looked at it, it really did get into the specific detail. That's what I really liked about it, is it wasn't some high level analysis, but it was a detailed report, and it got into the specifics of, you know, where you can actually get value, right? And then quantifying that, because, you know, some of it is, yeah, you can talk about a better experience for your employees, or, you know, but what does that actually mean? Where does it save money, right? It saves money in training costs, and you, to actually break that down, make some assumptions, putting numbers around it, how your operations is actually increased, right? How your business can do things faster. And then actually one of the things, and, you know, like, I'd recommend anyone that's seriously looking at this, go look at that report. But it also talks about the things that SAP is uniquely doing to help our customers, because I think that is unique of, we know both sides of SuccessFactors and SAP on-prem, right? And I think that gives us some advantages there, not just us, but, you know, even our partners. And so, you know, I'm excited about that ROI calculator too.
Yeah, no, and you're spot on. I mean, the analysis in the white paper specifically, where we were able to look at things like, hey, if we're able to remove, you know, responding to HR support tickets with the same kind of veracity that we do today, you know, documenting HR policy, you know, just all of the mundane or strategic things that can be made more efficient through the move. I think the analysis provided in that white paper was really eye-opening, and the intent of the upcoming calculator, which we should have available by the start of Q1, enables us to take really unique customer inputs, leveraging the same kind of analysis and logic structure that was used in the white paper, to start to input things like number of employees, annual company revenue, size of HR team. Yeah, so they can get a high-level understanding of what it means. But I think where it's maybe even more impactful for a business case is there are ways for advanced settings and kind of very specific ways to tune. So you can look at things like, hey, what percent of your HR's team's day is working on things like support tickets or on creating HR reports and being able to think about how, if we were to move from operational to strategic kind of practice, what that might yield as part of that ROI efficiency, and being able to think about what that means for the business as a whole. And so I'm really excited about the calculator, kind of standing on the giant's shoulders, like your work from before, being able to take that kind of stuff and turn it into something that'll be self-service for our customers that are interested in kind of getting a quantitative view of what the migration could mean for them. So it's really cool stuff, man.
Yeah. And, you know, I think the one thing that I appreciated the most about that report, too, is that it was driven from the feedback of customers, right? There were multiple customer interviews that took place. They heard about the actual, you know, stories, you know, good and bad, where they saw value, you know, what, where they kind of actually got the value. They put some numbers from the customer side on it. So I think that part was really cool.
That's right. Yeah. And I think it was something like almost 500 customers were interviewed overall. So you're right. Yeah. It's not kind of finger in the wind stuff. It was voice of customer, being able to see where this move to SuccessFactors really makes an impact for their business. So it was, definitely next level stuff. And congratulations again, man.
Thanks. I'm looking forward to seeing more of that. But, you know, I think after making the business case, let's say you make the business case, you get the funding. I think one of the first thing customers kind of get scared about is they've been in their existing system, you know, for such a long time. And in many cases, they weren't even involved in the implementation anymore, right? Even if I've been at a customer for 7 to 8, 10 years, that doesn't mean I was there for the implementation of the SAP HCM environment, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of customers, I mean, let's be honest, you're scared to touch it, right? And you don't know all the things that are kind of going on there because you weren't involved. And plus, it's been, you know, changed and enhanced over the years. So I know we also have a readiness check tool, which is relatively new. I mean, I think it's been out for more than a year now to help customers, I guess, get that X-ray of their existing system. So tell me a little bit more about that. What are some of the things that are surfaced in that? And, you know, have we gotten some customer responses from the people that have used that?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, no, I think the readiness check has been really a success story since its introduction about a year ago. You're right. I think it's been used by, I think, roughly 250 unique organizations at this point. And the intent, like you said, is to get that transparency into what their on-prem HCM deployment really looks like today. Because you're right, there can be so many customizations that might have happened, just unique info types that are being used in a different way than might
been
be
there.
Standard. Yeah, you know. And so this really provides the opportunity to export all of the data, so we have a clear GDPR compliant way to get an understanding of what the overall data set that you're using today looks like. And we're able to put that up into an easy to understand dashboard that's broken into kind of four key components. We're able to look at things like employee insights, which has to look at things like the overall structure of the business and the size and volume of number of employees in different regions or market units or overall cost centers. And so being able to just have that kind of pivotable way to see how and where people sit across the business. There's org structure analysis. There's something called important HXM data that lets us look at things like payroll calendars and frequency. Oh, yep. And then custom code analysis, which is where we can start to understand where things might have gone off the beaten path, so that we can understand what the level of complexity and effort might be to facilitate an advantageous migration. And so, you know, I think the questions that folks really come into this asking themselves could be really simple, like what kind of functionality are we actually using in our on-prem systems today? Or it can be more helping to understand where can we start to sanitize our data as we consider a migration going forward, and being able to consider what best practices for measurement of different segments of our population might be, being able to think about just what the overall best practice, overall structure might be as we consider a move to EC or ECP going forward. And so it's a really good way to just kind of get that all-encompassing view of what's being used. We should have explain text where you can click in and get some guidance around what the information showing on the screen actually means. And you can share it with SAP services and partners. You can drill into it to see the nitty-gritty in an Excel right behind all of it. So it's intended to be used. And I think it's...
Good old Excel, right?
Yeah. No matter what we do. Oh, God. Don't get me started. Yeah, no, Excel's the best.
I know. I like it as much as the next person. To me, that's a unique advantage, right? Because you get to understand your system as is and help prepare for a move. I think that, you know, we've heard some direct feedback of this helped me get started, you know, significantly faster or a big jump start on your requirements gathering once you're starting that project. And if I compare that to, you know, completely starting from scratch and not having that, I mean, you know, that reduces the risk quite a bit from my standpoint.
Yeah, you're right. I think in a practical sense, it removes several weeks of upfront analysis. It means that as you're kicking off an implementation, that both sides, either services or partners and, you know, our customers are all starting at the exact same point and have the same understanding of what's deployed today, and can go forward with that confidently, as opposed to, you know, going through a long questionnaire of trying to figure out, you know, how many people sit in this location and what are you using for, you know, what info type are you using to capture this certain data. That pulled right away, and it's a process that takes about 24 hours tops, and really can help to support customers that are on any level of either ECC or S4. It's ready to go, and I think is a major game changer for us.
For sure. So, you know, if you look at it, you know, we're working on trying to help customers make a business case to get the funding. And then we're able to kind of get a view or an x-ray or a glimpse of their existing system to help reduce some of that risk and get the early requirements gathering conversations, you know, expedited a little bit there. What are some additional ways that, you know, we can reduce the risk from, you know, that requirements gathering from and taking that analysis that they have from a readiness check tool and, you know, getting started? I know you talked about getting that data out and making it available for, you know, either your partner or SAP services. But what are some other ways that that can be valuable?
No, I love that question. And you're right. You know, if the readiness check is kind of that x-ray, but without having someone to interpret it, without having a doctor, you know, it would be hard to know what to do with it. And so, you know, I think there are a couple of different avenues that folks can go to get a better understanding of what the readiness check practically means to them and their business. I think the first would be what we call our customer evolution workshop or our EvoKit workshop. Which comes out of an organization that's relatively new at SAP called the Customer Evolution Program, that's intended to help all of our on-prem customers move to the cloud across each of the solution areas. So ERP, HXM, BPT, you know, essentially all of it. We're helping our customers find the way to move best to the cloud. We have workshops through that program that help to leverage the findings from the readiness check, but also pair that with things like overall product mapping and prioritization and building a business case. We have our customers run the readiness check and provide a digital questionnaire to kick that off. The workshop is really, really kind of focused on helping organizations that haven't made that first step into the SuccessFactors world first. And so it's for kind of companies that are figuring out whether or not it's the right move for them. And what we've seen is that these kind of workshops can be done either in a silo just for an HXM migration. But what we're seeing with increasing frequency is adding the HXM content as part of a broader S4 digital transformation. And so I think increasingly we're looking at the organizations that are looking to move in a holistic way, saying if we're moving to S4, let's think about what the move to HXM could mean in that capacity too. And then building a 3 to 4 day workshop that takes into account those business cases, the readiness check interpretation. And so that at the end of those 3 or 4 days, our customers have in hand a really clear understanding of the level of effort and complexity for a migration generally, as well as the value that they can expect to glean once they do make the move. And so I think that's the first one that I think is, again, relatively new, but we're seeing it get adopted with increasing success and regularity. The second one is a new advisory service that really carves out the interpretation of the readiness check, data check, and really the goal there is to have just a 1 or 2 day engagement by which we're able to dig into the nitty gritty of the results of that and provide a readout that shows what value we would expect a customer would be able to get by moving based on their current deployment today, but then getting into a little bit more of the actual migration path, things that might need to change with the way that the data is captured today for things to move most slowly or move least slowly going forward. And so that's a new advisory service that is we've tried to keep relatively inexpensive so that it's again, okay. Really yep. Well adopted.
My next question.
No. So that first workshop is free. This advisory service at the carve out is what I would consider inexpensive. I think it's something like $4,000 or $5,000 American. I think it's maybe 3,500 euros. But it's something that we see a lot of organizations are leaning towards if they already have some of the context and business case built, but want to get a better understanding of what the data sitting in their current deployment means for what migration could look like going forward.
That makes sense. I mean, I like a couple things that you said, right? You talked about the questionnaire, right? So that actually gets some things, takes the analysis, puts some more context around it. And then I do like the whole thought about, you know, doing this with the S4, right? Because what you don't want to do is have it siloed to the point where you're doing this big global S4 project and then, you know, HR is kind of standalone. And afterwards you're like, oh, well, what about HR? What are we going to do? And what is it going to look like? And really kind of doing that together because, you know, in the on-premise world, right? Like there was HR and ERP were always kind of bundled together. And, you know, that was a good thing in many ways. And, you know, with the move to SuccessFactors, you still want to account for both of those too. So I really like that.
You're right. You know, and I think largely a lot of our customers, you know, kind of consider the two kind of as separate entities sometimes.
Yeah. And so I mean, as much different CHRO versus CFO, right? Different ownership, whereas that always wasn't the case, right? So now when you see it, right, like you have a CHRO that gets their own budget and makes their own decision. And then, you know, CIO and CFO are you know, a lot of times working on the more of the ERP side of things. So that wasn't really the case as much 15, 20 years ago, I think.
You're spot on. And because of that, you know, what we're seeing is, you're right, there are separate owners. They sit in different parts of the business. And so mm-hmm. when folks are considering that move with their ERP system to S4, oftentimes it doesn't dawn on them that they have an HR system that also needs to move. And with things like end of mainstream maintenance coming up in 2025 and 2027, based on the ERP systems that they're leveraging, you know, mm-hmm. there's, I think, an increasing just kind of a burning need for these customers to realize that they should be intertwined, that there is a real value to think of HR and ERP together. And so having a workshop that shows that value case, that shows how EC can be really the overall kind of center of a business process that fuels ERP, for us is just increasingly important. And I think is the way that this is going to resonate most with our customers.
Agreed. So last thing. So, you know, if you look at this, you want to look at the entire process of an implementation. So, you know, helping make the business case was step one, helping look in at the existing system, getting into the required doing an actual analysis with some expertise, and we've covered those. But now when a customer is actually ready to start their project and they're getting ready to set up their system, I know we have many things that both us and also some of our partners help with. Can you tell me a little bit about that too?
Yeah, for sure. No, and so I think when the rubber hits the road and we're ready to actually start migrating data into things like Employee Central or the overall SuccessFactors suite, we have a wonderful tool called InfoPorter that was built with the intent of looking at certain fields in your existing on-prem HCM and being able to port those over to Employee Central based on underlying logic that's been built out over the last near decade now. So having that tool really as an expeditious way to help our customers move. But to your point too, Imran, we have an amazing ecosystem within our partners of folks like EpiUse and their Prism offering. We have TIK Consulting and the Nexus Suite and folks like SpinFX that all have tools that really help to facilitate that kind of data lift and migration into the cloud in a really expeditious way. And so I think when we think about the nuts and bolts of that, it's really critical that we have those kinds of tools to make that process seamless. Beyond that, you know, I think there are lots of ways in which we want to embed things like best practices for implementation as well.
Important.
Yeah, so things like implementation guidebooks that are really important, but there's a specific, I'd say, offering from SAP that we call implementation design principles that are a series of both documentation, kind of living, breathing documents that are constantly updated based around scenarios and challenges that customers might have during implementation. So we can have workarounds that are just really publicly shared. It's been kind of an aggregation of data, both from our SAP experts as well from our partner eco, of bringing all of this information together, which is great. They have webinars that also help to dive into, you know, how you should best manage implementation and build in best practices. And so I would say implementation design principles is one of those of next level ways. Yeah. Do you have experience working with implementation design principles, Imran?
Yeah, I've definitely, looked at them, when I used to do more project work. I mean, the reality is those have a lot of real world expertise, challenges that were actually faced by customers. And, the solution for that was actually in that, right? As opposed to if you're starting from scratch and you don't have that, this does have real world knowledge in there. And this is how you solve a business problem, right? So that's the thing I really like about those. And, I saw another thing, and this, I guess the last thing I'll say is our buddy Brandon Toombs created a video, I think, maybe a month or so, talking about InfoPorter, and he labeled it the secret weapon for Employee Central migration. And he actually, goes in and talks about it. So I'll share that in the details here for that. But I think that's a big one to actually get that jumpstart of moving the data, right? Having the pre-filled mapping, doing it, and then being able to get that best practices. To me, that's a huge win and really does help customers see more value for sure.
Dude, spot on. Yeah, huge accelerator. And yeah, shout out to Brandon Toombs for that post too. That's excellent stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining me today, Dunk. Appreciate all your insights. I think a lot of people will find value in this. I mean, I probably learned a couple of things myself, and I'm talking to you regularly. So thanks for coming on and sharing your expertise, my friend.
Man, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Hope we can do it again sometime.
Yep. Sounds good. All right, Dunk. Bye.